Hello and welcome back to the Pixel Street Podcast. This is episode 255 of the show, where each and every week, sometimes, me and John get together and talk about video games. We've been on a hiatus for a little bit. Just life happens, man.
We were busy. Things went on vacation. You know what? Let's just say it out front. Everything sucked in gaming for a while now, okay? All right, I'm tired of hearing about thousands and thousands of more people losing their job. I'm tired of hearing about all these studios being shut down and all these games being canceled that sound good. I didn't put it in the quick news, but a Twisted Metal game that I've been saying forever. Hey, Sony, Twisted Metal game, perfect opportunity to do that. That was canceled with all their layoffs recently. So, like, everything just sucks right now with video games.
Yeah, it's just... it's nonstop, right? Like, we've already hit thousands and thousands of layoffs this year. It got so bad at the end of last year that now this year they're just keeping track of it. Like, every news outlet has an article. This is how many people have died. I mean, they might as well be killing these people. Yeah. No, this is how many people have been laid off this year because of all these layoffs. Like, it's crazy. That's how bad it is. So yeah, corporations are bad, right? Like, and like, that's part of the title of this podcast is like, it's hard to want to talk about video games every week when every week the headline of the show is going to be layoffs. You know what I mean? It's like, and don't get me wrong, like, if we were completely free and our schedules lined up, we would still talk about it every week. But it's just like, it's like that, it's that, I don't know. It's that second level of, like, I don't want to just talk about negativity every fucking week about things that I fucking love. Especially because the first half of the title of the podcast is that video games are good, right? Mm-hmm. We're getting better and better. Like, games are constantly coming out, and they're good, and they're good, right? We just got Final Fantasy VII Rebirth coming out. Great game. We got Helldivers 2 come out. Great game. But then it's like, also, the companies that didn't release great games right now, they may have released great games in the last year, 2 years. They're just letting everybody go because they don't have the huge income that they want at this moment.
Yeah, they're not seeing enough growth. They saw some growth, but not enough. And it's 100% on the heads of that company, the managers and everything. But of course, the people that actually did the work, earned them all this wealth, they're the ones that pay for it.
Yeah, it's just fucking depressing, man. And like, the future, I said it on the last podcast we did, the future of video games is just scary as a whole, right? Like, we're getting all these like big hitting, awesome, huge games along with some awesome smaller games. Like Helldivers 2, I would say, is kind of a smaller game, right? Like, it's not, it's not a huge open world thing like Final Fantasy is. It doesn't have a crazy story. It's just fun. And that's what makes it great. And it's like, where are we going to be in 10 to 15 years after all these layoffs? Like, that's when we're going to start seeing the ramifications of these layoffs, I think. And it just, it's scary.
I wouldn't say that far down the line. I would say much closer, though. We'll say 5 years. Like, how does everything look 5 years down the line? Because it's not just that people are losing their jobs and like getting other ones. It's like, there's not enough jobs to go around right now. Like, people are going to be leaving the industry, very talented, very passionate people. And you're just going to lose out on a lot of great things because of that.
Yeah.
Exactly. And that's before we talk about AI and all these other issues.
Yeah. Not fun at all. Let's just get into the news, John. This is probably going to be a shorter episode because it is slow news overall. Mm-hmm. Oh, but first, real quick, you can follow us on Twitter at Pixel Street and check out our pinned tweet there. Join our Discord server. Say what's up. Tell us if you want to play Helldivers 2. I've been playing it a lot, so come hang out. Main topics, John. There was an Xbox partner preview today. And I don't, have they done one of these in the past?
Mm-hmm.
I don't recall.
They did one a year ago.
Gotcha. Yeah, it's just like, it's not a huge thing, right? They just announced it Monday, said it's coming Wednesday. It wasn't a huge thing, wasn't a big deal. We kind of knew it wasn't going to be anything like jaw-dropping or crazy. But there was some stuff shown in here. Game called Unknown 9 Awakening is coming summer 2024. You want to talk about the showcase overall a bit so I can pull up B-roll while we go?
Yeah, so honestly, in my opinion, nothing really at this show was something I was like, oh, I have to play this the moment it comes out.
What was that PlayStation Forsaken? This Unknown 9 game looks like Forsaken. When I saw it, I was like, oh, is Forsaken coming to Xbox? Like, what?
Yeah. Probably out of everything shown, that was the game that I was most like, oh, I would play that if it came to Game Pass. But I don't think I would, like, go out of my way to purchase it. It looked fine.
You don't want to play Roblox Chucky with your daughter?
That was... I can't believe they put that in there.
That was like, so weird.
That was very weird. Yeah, I did see there was a... Was it Final Fantasy 14? Did they announce that yet?
They announced the official release date. I think it's March 21st. I could be wrong on the date, but it's end of March. The beta, I think, has already been available on Xbox.
Gotcha. So, yeah. Persona 3 Reload Expansion Pass. There was a Monster Jam game in there. Like there was a lot of just weird stuff in here. Where it
John,
was
you, don't,
like,
you don't fuck with Gravedigger? Come on, now.
When I was a kid, I would go to my grandma and grandpa's and I would play on their computer, and I remember they had a Monster Truck game that I would play. Nice. Literally my only experience with Monster Trucks. It's like I never
you thought
never went, about that.
You never went in person?
No.
I went like...
I lived in a farm town.
True, yeah. I went like 2 to 4 times, I'd say, when I was a kid. I used to enjoy it. Enjoy it enough. I would love to go now, like with the boys, just pound beers at Monster Jam. I think it'd be hilarious.
Are they? So I remember Grave Digger from decades ago. Are all of the trucks still the same? Like, is it the same people, or is it like different drivers, but they keep the trucks?
So the I could be completely wrong, but from what I remember, some of the trucks stay the same throughout, right? And the drivers will switch out. But Gravedigger in particular, I think that somebody started in Gravedigger and then he got too old and his son took over driving it. And I don't know if that's still the case now. It could just be that a new driver's in there. But yeah, I think it's just random. And I think they probably do switch out trucks and stuff because like there used to be a Scooby-Doo truck when I was a kid. And I don't remember seeing that for a long time. And then Elise, like, showed me a clip. She's like, wait, there's a Scooby-Doo truck? I was like, I mean, yeah, there was when I was a kid. I don't know if it's still running the circuit like it used to.
Yeah, let's see. So, yeah, all you Monster Jam fans, get ready for that. Stalker Legends of the Zone trilogy. I mean, that's cool. I didn't... What's the Stalker game that got delayed? Was that Stalker 2?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I have no idea about Stalker. I didn't know there was a trilogy. So
yeah,
like,
I don't. It could be like the trilogy is. I don't know, one, you know, Stalker 1, and then like and two
expansions.
Offshoots. Yeah, two offshoots that. I don't know. Yeah, it is weird to call it a trilogy. I don't understand that.
Yeah, I have. I don't know. If you're looking forward to Stalker 2, though, there's that. I personally have no interest.
Same.
Tales of Kinzera Zao, I think is how it's pronounced. I remember that game got shown off at the Game Awards this past year. That game looks fine. It looks like the people behind that are very passionate about it, which is awesome.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're just like, I don't know. If, like, all of these games were coming to Game Pass, there are some in here that I just wouldn't even download. I'd be like, not even really worth my time. There's some in there that I'm like, okay, yeah, no, I'd put some time into that and give it a try.
Yeah, I think for me, the thing with, like, Stalker in general as an IP is, like, I never really knew anybody that was super excited or, you know, super... supportive of the first Stalker game. Like, it's not like Oblivion where people are like, dude, you got to play Elder Scrolls. You got to play Oblivion. You got to play Skyrim. It's just like, I've never met anybody that's like, dude, you got to go play Stalker 1.
I do think that's a very niche market. I think it's one of those things where, yeah, you're right. The fan base is probably very small, but the people that do like it love it. I think that's really how it goes. When's the last time we heard anything about Stalker 2? Because I know that game was put on hiatus because of the awful situation over in
Ukraine.
Ukraine. Trying to look it up.
Yeah, and it's just like, it's one of those things too where, you know, being huge Xbox fans like you and me, like, that's one of the big exclusives that Xbox has, like, been showing off for the past year, 2 years even. I have no interest in this game. And you know every big showcase is going to take, like, a substantial portion of that showcase that they're showing.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, it's a tough situation because of that whole everything going on over there. And obviously we hope that the developers are safe and fine and everything. I'm just like trying to find all everything that's coming up when
Wait,
I search
is,
for
is,
stuff.
Is this the studio that burned down?
I don't know.
Hold on. I remember a studio burning down.
That sounds vaguely familiar, but I don't know what game it was in relation to.
Yeah, Stalker 2 developer CSG, GSC Game World Office is damaged by fire. That's the last we heard about it, and that was in September of 2023.
All right.
Which is crazy. It's like one thing after another going on over there. That sucks.
Looks like a month ago, some Stalker 2 gameplay images appeared on the Epic Games Store. But other than that, nothing.
Yeah, well, if you're excited for Stalker, I'm sure you're going to be trying out the Stalker kind of... It's like a remaster, right?
Oh, I found it. All right, so in November 2023, the game is set to release in quarter one 2024. But then 1 month ago from The Verge, Stalker 2 Heart of Chernobyl has been delayed again. And that's pushing Heart of Chernobyl back to September 5th. So that's when it's supposed to come out.
What's great, like, the other thing is, like, nobody can get mad at that studio. So, like, no. Look, we're literally, like, in a war zone, potentially. Mm-hmm. I don't know the exact, but, like, you know, there's a war going on near us at the very least. And also, our fucking studio lit on fire, okay? You'll get the game when you get the game.
Yeah. Yeah. Hopefully, I would really hope. Because the video game community, in general, is awful. Like, it's gamers toxic. Are terrible. Terrible people. I would really hope that they're not threatening these devs or anything after everything that they've gone through the last few years.
Yeah. I agree. Moving on, John, a bit of sad news. Rooster Teeth is being shut down because Warner Bros. Discovery decided to shut them down. Apparently, they were trying to sell them, sell that side of the business for a while, and they just got no takers, and they just decided to shut it down. Now they're trying to sell the rights to the animated shows, as well as, like, the video game side of the company, I believe.
Yeah, so I used to watch a lot of Rooster Teeth. I mean, so many of us did. People in our age range, like, we grew up with Rooster Teeth. Like, that was the main internet show, Red versus Blue, and then Ruby. And then you go into, like, the Achievement Hunter stuff, Funhouse, like, all that stuff I loved.
Yeah.
And then, fuck, how long ago was it? It was a while ago now. I would guess, like, 2016-ish, 2017. There was some really bad stuff that happened with a couple of people, Adam Kovic and Ryan Haywood, who were two people that I liked in that area. They were found out to be sexual predators, and that just kind of threw me off, like, everything. And since then, there's just been constant, well, not constant, but I just keep seeing all these things coming out, like how bad the situation was at Rooster Teeth working for that company. And then you also hear that just like Rooster Teeth as a company was just constantly losing money, where it's like, I'm not too surprised that this happened. It really sounds like some bad stuff was going down. Yeah, it's unfortunate for like a nostalgic standpoint for like people around our age. Like I've seen a lot of people being like, oh man, this sucks. But also I'm kind of like,
we weren't supporting them like we used
to. We weren't. And they didn't deserve it. For everything bad that was happening there, it doesn't sound like.
I mean, there was really a stuff that it. There was a stuff that bad that you had mentioned, and I think that's when a lot of people stopped watching. And then there was like a few years later, more stuff coming out about some other like Achievement Hunter guys and stuff that was kind of in the same realm of being a shithead.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. And then there was like hazing allegations within Rooster Teeth, I remember, and stuff like that, which is just crazy.
So I was doing some searching on Twitter earlier because I was just like, all right, well, I don't follow many of the people from back then that I would watch. So I'm going to search for these people, see like where they are, what they have to say about this. So like Bernie Burns and Ashley, they like moved to Europe years ago. They left the company forever ago. I saw Miles Luna post something. He's like, yeah, that was, I met a lot of great friends there, but that was one of the worst jobs I ever had. Lawrence Sontag, who was a part of Funhouse, he's like, yeah, I hated being there, but I feel for the people I worked with. It's just like all these people that I'm seeing that I was like, wow, when I think of those days, Rooster Teeth and all those shows, I think of these people and they're like, yeah, no, this was bad. This was an awful place to be. This was a dark point in my life.
Yeah,
it's a wild thing to see, especially when we think of so many people around our age and in this like kind of demographic of like people that love being online and consuming this content. We love this stuff so much, but man, was it not so great on the other side. Let's say that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely going to be sad to, like, I don't know, see, like, Funhouse and Achievement Hunter go. You know what I mean? Like, because, like, it's not something I watched all the time, but, like, there would be times when I'd see clips and stuff and I would enjoy them. But, yeah, like, kind of funny, like, is in relations with Rooster Teeth because
Let's Play family thing.
Yeah, yeah. So they partnered with Rooster Teeth back in the day and apparently Rooster Teeth has been getting ads for Kinda Funny over the years, right? So like a bunch of the ads Kinda Funny runs is because Rooster Teeth sold them, you know, within their podcast, which is pretty standard practice for, you know, like TV shows and stuff like that. So yeah, that throws a loophole for them because like if that is stopping, right, Kinda Funny could struggle a bit, even though they're not technically owned by Rooster Teeth in any way. They're just affiliated. But from like what Greg, so they found out about it live on Kinda Funny Games Daily today, and they didn't talk about it until like halfway through, and it was after an ad break, which I assume is because they didn't know, you know, what to talk about. And they sounded like optimistic that like they didn't hear anything about that side of the company closing, you know, the selling of ad space on their podcast and stuff. So hopefully that's good. And he said even if they did, he doesn't think that they'll struggle too much because they have like other avenues and other relationships in which they've been selling ads as well. So but yeah, like it's just crazy. It's crazy that like it affects other companies, not just Rooster Teeth. Owned companies.
I didn't even realize that Warner Brothers owned them.
Neither did I. And I think it's one of those things where I think Rooster Teeth got sold like a while ago to some other company. And when that happened, you know, that's when everybody's like, oh, you know, kind of like a sellout almost. And like, you can tell probably after that happened that, you know, their content probably changed a bit, right? Like they started going heavy into anime and stuff with that Ruby show I never watched it, but I know people love it. And I would assume that that is like direct relation to when they sold.
Okay, so I've got it pulled up here. Full Screen bought Rooster Teeth in 2014. I knew about that. I knew.
Okay.
I was watching during that time. But Full Screen was acquired by Otter Media, which later became a part of Warner Brothers Discovery. So there's like a whole line of acquisitions going on there and how they got under that umbrella.
Yeah. When did Rooster Teeth make their first game?
Their first game was, it was a Ruby game. I remember that being on Xbox One.
I mean, there you go. That's kind of a direct relation because Ruby didn't air until 2013. I just looked that up. So that would mean when they sold. Yeah, so that would mean when they sold, you know, probably more money was being pumped into Rooster Teeth from a larger company. Probably, and that's probably why they started like a game development. Yeah, it sucks, man. Like, it's one of those things where, like, I can't be too upset because I wasn't supporting them, but it is sad to see them go.
I wasn't supporting them, and pretty much every time I saw something about them, like on Reddit, like you know how you get like recommended things. It was almost always bad stuff that I was being shown. And I'm just like, I don't want to get back into this.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's talk about other Warner Bros. Stuff, John.
Yeah. For some reason, Warner Brothers is doubling down on live service games. And I just don't understand this mindset. So pretty much, here, I've got the article pulled up on my side here. Warner Brothers Discovery CEO and president of streaming and games, J.B. Parrott, spoke about the company's strategy during a recent Morgan Stanley event. He acknowledges the success of projects like the single-player Hogwarts Legacy, which managed to be last year's best-selling game in the United States, but says the business of AAA console releases can be volatile. We all know that. We've talked about that endlessly. That's a great business when you have a hit like Hogwarts Legacy. It makes the year look amazing. Unfortunately, we also have disappointments. We just released Suicide Squad this quarter, which was not as strong. It just makes it very volatile. And so Suicide Squad is not a game that I would put in the same realm as Hogwarts Legacy, considering that that game is a live service game. It was always billed to be a live service game. That game that you're trying to double down on is the exact same thing that you're saying failed for you.
Yeah.
And there's a whole ton of reasons why Suicide Squad didn't do that well. Like, you and me, we've both talked about our disappointments with that game. And like,
John, I'll tell you something else. The last thing I want is the next Harry Potter game to be a live service game.
Right? I don't want Hogwarts Legacy 2 to be a live service game. Like, that does not sound good to me. He goes on to explain that Warner Brothers is looking at its four major franchises, Mortal Kombat, Game of Thrones, Harry Potter, and DC, and is hoping to expand in the mobile and multi-platform free-to-play space. It will take some time for Warner Brothers' efforts to come to fruition, with Parrott estimating we'll see the impact between 2025 and 2027. He does say, though, that the company will release more mobile free-to-play titles later this year. That doesn't sound like anything I want out of Warner Brothers.
Yeah.
At all.
To be fair, the only thing I want out of Warner Brothers right now is Hogwarts Legacy 2.
Well, Warner Brothers owns Lord of the Rings, right? Or is that someone else?
I think they do.
I want to say they do.
Yeah, they do.
So Lord of the Rings is one of my favorite franchises of all time. And I heard a while ago that they said they wanted to do more with that. I'm like, hell yeah, dude. Give me more Harry Potter stuff. Give me more Lord of the Rings stuff. Like, those are my jam. Of course, I'm a huge Batman fan as well. There's a lot of things in this area that I love and I do want more of. I don't want them to be these monetized, free-to-play bullshit mobile games. Like, this market is not sustainable. How are you looking at this and be like, yes, that is our way forward? Like, no. Make more of your AAA games, but don't spend 9 years to make them, like with Suicide Squad. You don't make it so fucking gigantically costly that it has to do amazing to be profitable. Like, make some smaller projects. Not stop trying to make the next big thing all the time. Like,
but John, when they started making Suicide Squad 3 or 4 years ago, everybody was playing live service games.
They started making that game like 8 years ago.
Well, yeah, 8 years ago, live service was the future, John.
Yeah, when Destiny 1 was still playing. Yeah.
No, Destiny 2 came out 8 years ago. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. Oh, Jesus. It's like, we've had this, unless you are at the top of the mountain, unless you are Fortnite, Call of Duty, Overwatch has its niche, League of Legends, maybe Apex is in there. Like, unless you are at the top of your...
Halo.
Kind of, yeah. trolling. Unless you are at the very top of that genre that you are going for, you are not going to survive in the free-to-play realm. Like, that just doesn't work. And we've seen it time and time again. And these fucking dumbass CEOs are still like, ah, we want that big payday. Let's go for that.
You know what, John? All the CEOs say, like, hey, how can we potentially make more money after making money off of something?
Right.
The answer, live service.
And if we fail, we'll just have more layoffs.
Yeah. I mean, I've said over and over, the thing that sucks about Suicide Squad is there are people that got hired at that dev studio specifically because they played the Arkham games. And wanted to make more of that. Maybe not Arkham specifically, but in that realm. And then they were told to make a live service game. And I'm not saying that's everybody at that company that worked on this game. But that's probably a few people at that company. At the very least. And that's just like insanely unfortunate.
Yeah.
John, quick news.
Yeah, let's get in the quick news.
Quick news, article number one. Ghost of Tsushima is coming to PC. I believe it's at the end of March.
Yeah.
19th, something like that. So yeah, that's exciting. Director's Cut coming to PC. I'm not going to play it on PC. I am just very excited to watch videos and TikToks about how beautiful it runs on like the high-end PC.
I fell off that game hard.
You were playing for a little bit.
I was playing it. I started it last year, but I fell off and I just couldn't get back into it.
Yeah, it happens. Up next, Xbox Design Lab. They have added Fallout designs. You can design yours now. It looks really cool.
It does.
I'm
look
super
good.
Into it.
You and I were talking before we started live streaming that we hope that they do more of these like series specific things, like a Halo thing, a Hi-Fi Rush. Like, think of all like the colors from Hi-Fi Rush that you could just put into a controller. That would be amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, would be super cool. Oh, and at the bottom, there's an ad for the Fallout Amazon show, which I completely forgot about.
Oh, yeah.
April 12th. Comes out April 12th.
Wow, that's a lot sooner than I thought.
Yeah. Up next, the Dune Awakening trailer was released the other day. Everybody's hot on Dune right now, so it makes perfect sense that they would reveal this trailer. I don't know when it comes out. I think it might say at the end of the trailer. But it looks like a survival game. It kind of looks like Rust and No Man's Sky had a baby in a way. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I have no idea. I don't know how much it costs.
I've never seen anything to do with Dune, so I have no
idea. I just watched. So I started reading the Dune book, the first book.
I didn't even know it was a book.
A few weeks ago. Oh, yeah. Sorry, got sidetracked. And my best friend is like super into Dune. And so I watched the first movie this Sunday, and then I saw the second movie on Monday. Really good movies. So yeah, I'm excited to see how that game does. Moving on. The multiplayer Horizon game was not canceled following Sony's layoffs. So that's still in development then, huh?
Yep. Yeah.
That's exciting.
Is it... Guerrilla Games?
Guerrilla? Yeah.
Yeah. They were affected by the layoffs, but reportedly that multiplayer game that they've been working on is still in production, unlike The Last of Us, Factions, and this Twisted Metal game that I mentioned earlier.
R.I.P. John. R.I.P. MLB Road to the Show will let you play as a female for the first time as your created character. That's exciting.
Yeah, that's cool.
They do what's that mode called where it's like educational? Is it Legacy? It debuted for the first time this last year.
There was the Negro Leagues mode. I didn't know if
they I think that's what it is. But like this year they're expanding it. I think maybe they changed the name after that Negro Leagues mode did so well.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe. But yeah, this time they're in this game they're focusing on a female baseball player, I guess. I forget what her name was. I had never heard of her, but I'm excited to play through it because it's like super interesting to learn about. Skull and Bones price has been slashed by $25 after less than 3 weeks. You picking it up, John?
Fuck no. Did you see the thing where they were like trying to like hype it up and they're like, wow, Skull and Bones set an Ubisoft record for like the most player engagement ever. But also it's like sold horribly and it's there. I can't remember exactly what the metric was, but it was something along the lines of most hours played per person or something like that. But they were like also counting. They were also counting in like people from the beta, the free beta that just anyone could download.
Yeah, fuck, that's so dumb.
Yeah, it was. The game's not great. I don't know, but I'm gonna tell you, I'm never gonna play it.
What I'm gonna do is I'm gonna tell you to play Sea of Thieves instead.
Mm-hmm.
The physical version of Baldur's Gate 3 will now come on 4 discs, John.
On Xbox specifically. I think I saw the PlayStation 1 is like 2 or 3.
How does that work? Right? Like, I know back in the day the way it would work was you're done with disc 1, insert disc 2. Is it the same way?
So
because like my curiosity is like when you put a disc in your Xbox, it installs the whole game from pretty much the internet, more or less. And then also like if I'm playing Baldur's Gate with you, multiplayer co-op, I have the disc, you don't. What's gonna happen when I get to the end of one of my discs and have to put the next disc in?
Right. So yeah, Baldur's Gate 3 is split into 3 acts too. So I'm guessing one is just meant for installing. And then you like put one in for act one, two in for act two, and then three in for act three. I don't know.
I did see an article that said that they were over the limit of being on 3 discs by like 500 megabytes or something like that, or 50 gigs. I don't know. And they debated internally whether like trimming down some content in the game or, you know, like, maybe making, you know, somehow smushing it all into 3 discs, but instead they decided, no, just add the 4th disc.
I don't understand
how it works anymore.
I don't understand that either. Yeah, that doesn't make sense to me. Like 500 megabytes.
Every time I put a disc into my Xbox, which is never, by the way, it just downloads the game from the internet, right? I know it installs some stuff from the disc, but most of it is just updating the game.
That is pretty much your license to play the game, essentially, that you're putting into your Xbox. I don't know, man. I don't understand this. And really, from a consumer standpoint, I know there's a lot of people that still want their physical games and everything. I'm not trying to yuck your yum here or anything. But do you really want to buy a game that you have to have 4 discs to play? Like, just download it. I feel like that would be so much more... I don't even know, so much more friendly to use. Like, I don't want to be playing and be like, oh, you went into this area. Better swap out your disc. It's like, what? No.
Yeah. You open a door and it's like, hey, you got to put in another disc.
What if one of the discs is like
middle of the cutscene?
It's only for all of the indoor areas. So every time you're inside or outside, you have to swap discs.
It's like, oh, you're traveling to a different part of the map. Here, put this disc in.
Oh, you chose this dialogue option? Better swap disc. All of the sex scenes are on that. That's the 500 megabytes that they couldn't fit in.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know how that works. No. John, let's talk about what we've been playing. I haven't played much, right?
Well, real quick, collectibles. Oh, I got a Sora amiibo.
Oh, I did see you post that.
Yeah.
I don't think I have anything.
This is the very last Super Smash Bros. Ultimate amiibo to be released. And every single character has an amiibo now. And that is insane to think about with how many people, not only how many characters were in that game, but how many third-party characters they were
Everyone
able to make.
Everyone is here, John.
Every single one. Everyone is here.
I wonder if that was part of the deal when they approached.
I have to figure that was in there.
Like,
yeah.
Like when they approached a company, like, hey, we want to use Cloud, but we also need the rights to make an amiibo and release an amiibo.
So if you want to hear my tinfoil theory, I think Super Smash Bros. Ultimate led to the Super Mario RPG remake last year. I think those kind of, those talks between Nintendo and Square Enix to get Cloud, Sephiroth, and Sora into Smash Brothers, I think they would also be like, hey, you know what? There's a lot of people that want Super Mario RPG Square. What if we throw some money your way, or we offer to just give us the okay and we'll remake
John,
this.
If there's one thing I know, is that Nintendo does not think logically, right?
Because it happened.
John, that's like a rare instance where you could take one thing and convert it to another with Nintendo.
I get that. I understand what you're saying, and I agree with you.
John, people have been asking for Mother 3 in the U.S. since it came out. And hey, instead of giving it to people in the U.S., they released
it. It came out in Japan, okay?
Yeah, it came out in Japan. And then it came out on a Nintendo Online, whatever the fuck that, what is their service called? Nintendo Online Collection, something like that.
Nintendo Switch
out,
Online.
It came out on that in Japan in the last Direct. Japan. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't understand what you're getting at here. That's what people wanted, right, Joel?
Yeah. Instead, we got Mario RPG. You're right.
I know a lot of people did want that.
Yeah, I know. I bought it, too. I just haven't played it yet.
I want to buy it. There's a lot of things that I've fallen behind on. Okay, sorry. Go ahead. Tell me about Final Fantasy VII Rebirth.
So, you know I'm a big Final Fantasy boy. Mm-hmm. I've barely played this. I just have been too busy. Like, it seems like every day I have fucking something to do. But, yeah, I played like 2 to 3 hours, maybe. I'm really early in the game. It looks great. I'm excited to keep playing. The story so far has me very, very intrigued because it's doing it's very much its own thing compared to the original game. And it's very exciting to me. I'm very excited to learn more about what's going on. I'm going to play more this weekend, maybe even tonight. But yeah, I don't know. I'll have more to say on it next week.
I have an important question for you, though, Joel. What character are you going to be romancing in this game as you move forward?
Gotta be Tifa.
That's my boy!
Gotta be Tifa. I'll tell you why. Because, spoilers for the end of Remake, right? They showed Zack from Crisis Core, right? And Crisis Core is a prequel to Final Fantasy VII.
Mm-hmm.
And in Crisis Core, Zack is like a thing with Aerith, okay? And in Rebirth, right, you play as Cloud. And I can't do my boy Zack dirty like that if he happens to come back in this universe we're playing in. I can't have Zack come back and see Cloud with his girl, Cloud being his best friend in that game in Crisis Core. I don't know if best friends, but like they work together in Crisis Core.
Gotcha.
And like they're partners in a way. I can't have him seeing Cloud, Mr. Steelio girl with Aerith. You know what I mean? And they're both hot.
Tifa,
they're both hot.
They are. They are. I will. But Tifa, my man, Tifa is like Aerith is she's a nice sunny hilltop. Like she's like, okay, yeah, that's nice. I wouldn't mind seeing that. But Tifa's a majestic mountain. She's like, oh my gosh, please. give me everything. I want to make you happy. I want you to break my heart. Please. Tifa is amazing.
Yeah, Tifa's great. And she's way more badass in terms of fighting than Aerith is.
Yeah. That swimsuit, though.
John, okay. What have you been playing? Because I know damn well it wasn't Final Fantasy.
I have not been playing Final Fantasy. I can't really find like something to like completely capture me lately. I did play through Dead Island 2 when that came to Game Pass. I'm not going to talk about it. I liked it. I enjoyed it. But I'm not going to go deep into that because that was a couple weeks ago now, I think. I also have been playing Resident Evil 3. I finished that. That game is a lot shorter than Resident Evil 2.
Did you get the rocket launcher mod?
I did. Yes.
You fucking...
It was 100% worth it. I loved it. It was so much fun. But that game is like 2 hours long. It took me like 2 hours and 15 minutes to beat it. I was not expecting it to be that short. Yeah.
I mean, you also had a rocket launcher with infinite ammo the whole time.
That is true. But still, I mean, like Resident Evil 2 took me longer than that. And I had the same thing. But no, it wasn't bad by any means, but I do prefer 2. But 3 was fine. I finished up Luigi's Mansion on my GameCube. Cool. That was the first time I ever played through that game. It was good. I don't know if I like it as much as Luigi's Mansion 3, but now I can say that I've beat both of those, and when Luigi's Mansion Dark Moon, or 2, what are they calling it on Switch? Is it just 2? It was called Dark Moon back in the day, I remember that. Whatever.
I think they're calling it 2 then, yeah.
Yeah. Luigi's Mansion 2, when it comes to Switch, I'll play it there, and then I'll be able to say that I've played all of them.
It's so even more confusing than just being Luigi's Mansion 2, John. It's called Luigi's Mansion 2 HD.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
Whatever. I'll play that when it comes out.
Because it being called Luigi's Mansion 2 HD implies that Luigi's Mansion 2 came out somewhere at some point, but it technically didn't because it was called Luigi's Mansion Dark Moon.
I think it was called 2 in Europe. But not Dark, but Dark Moon over here for some reason. I don't, or maybe it was Japan that it was just called to. I don't know. But yeah, it's what a situation there. So yeah, I also have downloaded Payday 2, and I'm playing that with a friend. That game, I'm not in love with it. I'm not gonna lie. I know there's a lot of people.
Does it feel better than Payday 3?
No. Not really.
So you think we had our fun with it and we're done?
Yeah. I think I would like it more if I had a full team. I've just been playing with one person and we were doing some levels yesterday and they're just not that fun. Like there was one where we had to like carry these warheads like 350 meters across a warehouse with nonstop police coming in and shooting at us. And we found out on our second trip through that there was a forklift we could put them on to make it go faster. But otherwise, we were just like slowly moving the entire time. It was not fun. And then there was also a stealth mission that if you get caught, you automatically lose. And in Payday, pretty much everything reveals you to people. Yeah. I'm not having a great time with it. I'm playing it because my friend. He's just like, hey, do you want to play this? He's very much into playing cooperative games. And we rushed through Dead Island 2. Like, we finished that game within 3 days. We played a ton of that. But now we're just kind of like waiting, I think, for MLB to come out. And then, but besides that, there's just not really much for us at the moment.
Yeah.
I need to get back into Helldivers. Tell me more about that.
John, I got so addicted to Helldivers the past few weeks. Yeah. I haven't played since Final Fantasy came out, because that's really the last game I played was Final Fantasy, like, last Thursday. But Helldivers 2, it's so much fucking fun. Like, I can't stop thinking about it. I can't stop watching TikToks about it. Can't stop watching tweets about it. It's just it's a simple game that is just fun to play. And they really crushed what the game is. It's just I don't know what else to say, man. It's just a good time. I haven't even checked out what the mission after that first overall mission is, because we failed that first one, I believe, as like a whole. Because like when you, so there's an overall, it's called a major mission, and it's like everybody, it's for everybody, right? It's not just like me doing something 8 times, it's everybody. And I'm pretty sure we failed it as a community. I got to get on there and see what the next mission is, because I haven't checked.
You have to play your part to secure democracy.
Yeah, it did get a patch today that like nerfed a bunch of weapons. It kind of nerfed like the meta that everybody's been using, which is like the railgun, the overshield, and some other stuff. But it buffed up like the flamethrower, which is good because it was pretty underpowered.
I did see that they announced mechs are coming at some point.
So that's the thing, is there's a guy who is a developer for the company, you know, he works at the studio. His name is Joel, ironically enough. And his title is Game Master, I think it is. And he is just able to see everybody's games whenever. Like, I don't know if it's like, you know, analytically, or if he can like physically see a map and what people are doing. But he's just been like dropping things on people mid game. And one of the things he's been dropping are these mechs for people to try. Which is fucking insane to me. Like, that's not something games do. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, that's not normal practice by any means for any game company. So for them to be doing stuff like that. And he was also like making it harder for people to do that main, like I said, the major order, by like if like somebody was playing on a hard. So I'm pretty sure the way it works, if you're playing on harder difficulty, it counts more towards liberating a planet than if you're on easier. But he was making it even harder for people by dropping like a huge wave of enemies, like at the end when they're trying to extract or something, to make them fail. It's all super interesting to me.
He essentially was just hacking the game, being like, yeah.
But from inside. But like he's getting paid to do it.
Yeah, he turned on God mode and was like, fuck you guys.
So yeah, if you look on YouTube and stuff, you can find videos of people using the mech in game, because like it has just been being dropped within people.
Well, also there was a tweet yesterday. I've got it pulled up here. The Helldivers 2 Twitter account says, "Helldivers, the XO-45 Patriot exosuits are in full production in the factories of Tien Quan, ready for deployment on the battlefield soon." So they're coming to everyone pretty soon, it sounds.
Yeah. It's exciting. So I think when I stopped playing last week, I was level 22. So I've definitely put some time in, because like it can be a grind to level up.
I only played a few sessions and it's fun, but I do hit a wall with that game, I think, where I'm like, okay, I'm ready to play something else. I acknowledge that it's fun. It's just, I don't know. I guess I just, at some point, I'm like, okay, that was enough today.
It can also be a commitment to where, like, because usually when you click on what mission you want to do, right, you click on an area of the map, and there's 2 or 3 missions within that area. Mm-hmm. And depending on which one you select, some of them could be, you know, 5-minute matches where it's just kill enemies and extract. Some of them could be 40 minutes, and all three of them could be 40-minute ones. Mm-hmm. And so if you don't look at that beforehand, you're kind of locked in, because, like, you get benefits from doing all three, right? Like, it counts it only counts for liberating the planet if you do all three. If you only do 2, it doesn't count at all. Like, it hurts you. And if you do all three, you get, like, more resources and medals for completing them. So, yeah.
Gotcha.
I'm excited to play more. I'll definitely be playing more of that this weekend. That and Final Fantasy. All right, I think that's going to do it for episode 255 of the Pixel Street Podcast. As always, you can follow us on Twitter at Pixel Street. Check out the pinned tweet there to join our Discord server. Come tell us what you've been playing. Tell us your wacky Nintendo takes, like John did, about Super Mario RPG. And that's why It exists.
Mm-hmm. Super Smash Brothers is to thank for that. Yeah.
Yeah. You can follow me on Twitter at Campo63 or twitch.tv/Campo63. John, where are you on the World Wide Web?
On Twitter, I am at Rivik Shadows, and you can find my writing on gamesandwich.com.
Cool. We'll be right back here next week with episode 256 of the Pixel Street Podcast. Oh, also, I'm going to PAX East this year, so I'm excited to play some games there and talk about them when I come back.
Bye.
Bye.